Today is Luke 10, verses 1 through 11 and 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" Here ends the reading.
Can you remember what it was like the first time you did something? I can remember the first time that I drove from Waco, my hometown, to Fort Worth by myself. It was in preparation for starting school at TCU in the fall, and I went on my own for a freshman orientation. Boy, was I nervous. I'd never done anything like that before. I can also remember the first, and I think so far the only time, that I have driven our 30-foot RV. Ryan was exhausted from doing several hours of the driving and really had to have a little bit of rest. It was quite literally a white-knuckle event for me. I was pretty intimidated by the size and magnitude of the weight that I was handling. Yet last Sunday night, when I mixed, poured, and smoothed grout on a bathroom tile floor for the first time in my life, I was not at all afraid. I guess I'd seen enough people on HGTV do it that I figured it couldn't be too hard, and I could probably do it without messing it up too bad. And I have to admit, it turned out pretty good. There were other complications. I won't go into those right now, but it wasn't related to the grout. Being asked to do something that you've never done before can be intimidating, daunting, and even frightening. Whether it's that first solo ride on your bicycle, your first long-distance drive in the car on your own, or whatever. Imagine if you walked into the church this morning and someone had said to you, "The pastor's sick, you're going to have to give the message." Now, for a few of you, secretly or openly, you would finally delight in getting your opportunity to stand behind the microphone and have your say. A few more of you may have done something like this before, and you could make your way through a somewhat extemporaneous message without panic. But there would be a significant group of you for whom being told you were giving the message this morning, a word from God, this would incite sheer panic. Terror would strike your hearts and your feet would feel like lead. Now imagine how the disciples and the 70 must have felt being sent out on their first mission or evangelism tour. Granted, they used the buddy system, so nobody had to go alone. That makes it a little bit easier. And Jesus had given them some coaching about what to do, where to go, what to say when you got there. But imagine putting yourself out there where you could be laughed at, abused, rejected, mocked. those folks had to be at least a little bit scared, but they went. They used the training that they had received. Undoubtedly, they had a few doors slammed in their face, but their overall reaction upon their return from this campaign is one of amazement, elation, and energy. God, it worked. Lord, in your name, we brought people to God. We spoke. They listened and believed. What a feeling it must have been. What a rush to be a part of something eternal like that. I can remember officiating my first baptism. Now, aside from being shocked by the suction feeling that you get when you enter the water in a pair of waders, which no one told me that would happen, I remember a feeling of privilege, of extreme joy, as I had been given a gift to be present and part of such a sacred moment in a person's life as this. I think maybe it must have felt a little something like that for the 70. They got to be a part of the plan and the mission of God and see it actually work. I think the widespread media advances today have done more in the last 30 years to damage the mental and psychological association the average person makes with the word evangelism. For many of us, we think of people like Oral Roberts, whom God was going to call home if he didn't raise a certain amount of money for his ministries by a certain deadline. Maybe you remember that. Or Robert Tilton, convicted in the court of public opinion, if not elsewhere, for financial misconduct and larceny. Or Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, whose sins of the chime were numerous. These and others like them today have indelibly etched an image on our mind's eye of an evangelist as someone with questionable methods, if not questionable ethics and/or motives, who works supposedly in the name of the Lord. But the word itself actually means bringing good news. Look it up in the dictionary and it will say something about one who brings the good news or the message of the gospel. And there is no parenthetical phrase or qualifier that says it's something the preacher does. Evangelism or good news bringing is something that we are all called to do. It can be a little bit scary, especially if you're not outgoing by nature. Some of us try and get out of it by assuming that there's someone in the church who is better qualified for that ministry than we are, so the church will be better off if we leave it in their capable hands. Wrong. As daunting as the task may be, to put yourself out there, be at risk of maybe being asked a question you don't know the answer to, being told no thank you or get out of my face, risking rejection and the like. It's not an easy thing to do. But does it say anywhere in the scriptures that following Jesus is supposed to be easy? In fact, I think it says quite the opposite. Faithfulness is challenging. And we are called to rise to that challenge with all of our being. No excuses. No loopholes, darn it. But guess what? You're not thrown out into an ocean of restless and empty souls without a life vest. You're not called into the operating room and asked to perform heart surgery when you've never even read a medical textbook. We have examples, teachings, resources at our fingertips and sitting in the pews around you. And evangelism doesn't have to look like people who wear funny robes, shave their head, and hand out flyers at the airports. Evangelism does not have to look like the suited salesman that goes into the home of a stranger and tries to verbally wear them down until they accept Jesus out of sheer exhaustion. It's really a simple task. It starts with believing that being in a relationship with Jesus as your Savior is a good thing. It starts with believing that through him we have been redeemed and given the gift of life eternal in the presence of God. It starts with believing that these are good things and that God wants that none should perish. Are you with me so far? Good. Now, your call is to notice, to pay attention to the opportunities that surround you to share your faith, how it's blessed your life, and invite someone else to share in that same blessing. It's very simple, but it can take on a variety of forms, like inviting your new neighbor who just moved in next door. But maybe you take the time to make a plate of cookies and visit and learn a little something about him at the same time. It might look like praying with your friend at work. Instead of offering to pray for her, you pray with her while she's going through a crisis. And then you invite her to a women's fellowship gathering where you think she might find support from others as well. Sometimes it takes on forms that don't look at all like evangelism when you first notice them. Like being patient with that unruly kid that shows up every year for the Christmas party, the Easter egg hunt, vacation Bible school, but you don't see them any other time of the year and you never see their parents. You never know if this place is the only place that that child receives acceptance and welcome. Now that child will hopefully grow into an adult who may become a minister, a missionary, or a faithful lay servant in the church, wanting to return and share the experience of unconditional love that was first received as a child. It might look like providing an elderly person who has breathing problems with a window unit air conditioner for their home so that their health is not exacerbated and made worse by the heat and humidity of the summer. Well, they may never darken the door of our building, but they'll know that through us, God's care is for them too. Lord, it worked. We went out in your name like you told us to. We did what you said, and people accepted you. Lives were touched. People were changed. How cool is that? I know, Jesus says, I saw it too. I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Evil, hopelessness, despair, they took a hit today, thanks to your efforts. Score one for the good guys and for the glory of God.